Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live from the Haunted Studios here in Shingle Springs, California, you're listening to Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio.
Paranormal Radio, coming to you from the land of Shingle Springs, California, in the northern part of the state. And we are in a haunted ranch here, as many of you know. And let's see, I got off to a weird start when I was on Kathy's show tonight and had slow problems with the computer was slow and the audio was not hooked up right, and I got that all overcome. Did a little meditation, picked up a few things around the place, and so we're back in our groove, man. And so, and a matter of fact, I kind of threw that in there. You know my love for aviation, and I'm yours truly is going to be actually in the cockpit of a World War II era Chinese fighter plane. I will be in, it's a civilian training aircraft and was bought surplus, assembled here in the United States. It was actually created. And so I'm going to be in this this fairly new, if you will, new old aircraft doing aerobatic maneuvers over Central California here in 2 weeks. And I promise I'll take pictures. And I was telling on the other show that I'm going to do EVP in the air. So I'll be seeing what I pick up there at Angels 5000 and go from there. But it's a dream come true, and I'm actually going to get to handle the controls. This is going to be really a lot of fun. So a little paranormal investigation while I fly through the skies at about 130 knots, but we'll see what we get. But this aircraft, I'm going to have to find a picture of this for you guys so you guys should see what I'm going to be in. I'll be in the rear seat, and I'll have a full set of controls, and I'll actually have a parachute on. I'll be a flight suit that works. And yours truly, the medium here on GRI Soulstream, will be going crazy in the air. And that's the kind of thing I like to do, get out there and live life and try new things. And not everything is paranormal. Sometimes you have just to reach out and just go out and do something you've never done before and get crazy. So I had lunch with my friend who has this airplane. He works with me, and the stuff he does, he shows me videos, and I just go, oh my God. So I know for the night before, I'm not eating anything, and I'm going to take plenty of Dramamine, and we'll see how I do. So anyway, hello, Kathy. How are you, my dear?
I'm doing good.
So would you do a thing like that? Would you ever get into a fighter aircraft and do what I'm about to do here in 2 weeks?
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, see? Yeah, just jump out and do it. You know, if it presents itself, go for it. All I have to do is pay for the gas, which is like $70 worth of gas for an hour and 30 minutes. We'll be up. So we're going to go up there and just tear everything up and have a great time. But, yeah, tonight you are here on Soul Stream. We got kind of a light turnout tonight. We got, but I think it generally picks up towards the end of the hour. So we got F.L. Christie is with us. Hello, my dear. And you were doing the sigh. I saw that. I didn't know what it meant, but you did a sigh. So big hug to you. Gerber Daisy TM is back with us. Hello, my dear. Got a couple of guests out there. See you guys. You are from France. Hopi 66 is with us. We have Karen's Dream and Quinny. So we got some of the regulars in too. And Dominica just popped in. Hi, Dom. I'm sliding a beer down to her. Here you go. I just can't see Dom drinking a beer, but maybe she does. I don't know. I didn't see any in her fridge when I stayed down there. But she has the most comfortable bed in the world and a great dog named Jack. And Jack is just, she's a sweetie. And she took to me, and I took to her, and it was like we were best bosom buddies. And she would come up, and I'd say, give me a kiss, Jack. And she'd run, she'd just obligatory kiss. Okay, I did it. You know, go, and she'd go away. So neatest dog in the world. And I think that dog's like a human spirit reincarnated. I sincerely think that, Dominica. So as a matter of fact, I don't know if on Facebook, I know you don't do Facebook that much, but if you could post a picture of Jack, that would be so cool. I've got some too. I'll post one of Jack. And you know, if you're cool with that, we'll post one of Jack out there. And I promise it didn't steal her soul. So anyway, hey, you know what? We got a caller there, my friend.
Cool.
Miss Kent. We got an 814 area code. So 814, I'm going to go ahead and bring on. Yeah, tonight, before I do that, actually, before I just jump into that, it's kind of an open night, mic night. So, you know, whatever you want to talk about, if you guys got some stories to share, if you are a medium and you want to pop in, that's kind of the theme of the show tonight. You know, definitely pop in if you want to do readings with us or for us. Maybe Kathy and I would like to be read. So go ahead and feel free to call in. You know, we've got a couple hours. We are going to take breaks a little more often this time because, number one, I've got a small cup here, and I need to drink a lot of water. It is still hot here in California. Temperature was up in the 80s today, and tonight, for some reason, it's just hot here in the studio. So I'm going to be breaking for water and recommending to everybody else do that too. We were talking also about the earthquake potential and some of the things coming that seem to be people are picking up on. A little bit off today. Everybody I've been talking with has been feeling a little strange or a little off, or some people have been irritated and irritable. So those are kind of symptoms that you see around a major event, like a geophysical event. And people are feeling it across the whole country. So there's something's up, and we're all feeling it. But you know, the big thing is don't give into fear, give into information and being prepared. And then just keep your mind open when things do happen. And don't react, you know, plan, and then just take and think critically when things are happening around you. And then Spirit will show you the right way. So anyway, here we go. And Quinny is sick. Oh, God, Quinny, you're still sick, my dear. Big hug to you. Yeah, she's been – everybody just keeps saying prayers for Quinny because she needs that. She's been really going through it there. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and bring 814 on. 814, you're on the air. Who we got here?
Hi. Actually, I'm not ready to ask any questions right now. I'd like to listen for a while, and I will ask a question, but I'm just not ready right now.
Okay. I recognize your voice. Have you been on before?
One other time, yes.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll go ahead and put you on. Just you had your hand up. That's why I took the call. So go ahead and put your hand down, and then when you want to come back in, just pop it on, and we'll take it from there. So I just put that back on hold. And so anyway, let's go ahead and, you know, I was talking a little bit earlier about, I just got a new device, and it's called an electrometer. And you're seeing these called paranormal ePods. And they're charging about $45 for these, and I won't say which website I bought it off of, but when I bought it, I knew that it was something that I could actually make fairly easy, and what I did was I went ahead and purchased this, and it turns out it's a pretty well-machined device, and it's almost impossible to get inside it to look at it because of the way they built it. But I was able to figure out just how they did it and what the circuit was that does this. And it really cost about $2 to build these. So Karen is going to get one in the mail. I'm going to build a bunch of these. So actually, I'll build several for her and for her investigations. And every team member will get one on GRI. And it turns out it's an old ancient device called an electrometer. And it turns out that spirits give off electrostatic energy that these fairly old devices made new with a little bit of semiconductor, you know, a couple of bucks of parts, can pick these things up, and they can light up an LED light. And we were testing it out. Me and my mother were just fascinated with it because it was, you know, you could comb your hair with a plastic comb and get, you know, like 4 feet away, and it would turn the light on and off. So it really is a fascinating device, and I've got the parts came in yesterday. Ahead of the actual big device that was already assembled. So I'm going to be covering some of this and just sharing some of this for people because, you know, in this time, day and age, I mean, $45 a pop for something that only a few dollars at the parts you can build it yourself, come on. And we'll test it out on the investigation this weekend, though, over at Preston Castle. So we're looking forward to that. Let's see. And I, you know, I'm going to encourage any of you in there listening, call in with a story, anything paranormal that you've had happen. So Karen, I'm kind of looking at you, or Quinny, we want to hear from you if you want to call in. We'll talk with you a bit. So open mic night, and I'm going to go ahead and just keep while she's sneezing home on the way home that evening, and is sick as a dog. Good Lord, dear.
It was about 2 weeks ago. She when she did her show, and she saw, first time in her life she'd ever seen chemtrails, and it looked like a tic-tac-toe board up in the sky to her. And right after that, she started sneezing, and like she said, she got sick as a dog after that. But for all the listeners out there that are not in the chat room and is having a hard time getting in or getting sound, please call in at 646-478-0377. Want to say it again, John?
Yes. Yeah, let me do my best NBC voice. Call in at 646-478-0377. Operators are standing by. You're at Berkeley, California. No, not Berkeley. We're here in Burbank, California, the land of the Tonight Show. Call in. John will have you on, and we'll talk with you about strange things like chemtrails. And, you know, chemtrails are no joke because they are doing things that basically are culling the population. And, you know, there's definitely a group out there that thinks that they know best, and they're going to do what they can to keep the population down, essentially, I think, is the way that they seem to believe. When you do see those things in the sky, the best thing to do is go inside and stay in, you know, and keep outdoor exposure short. It's really something else. But I'm seeing references to Blog Talk having difficulty with the sound. So, you know, Kathy, has that been something going on with you for the last few days or anything?
Yeah, and I know it's not from my end because I've got a new phone, new headset, new computer, tower, and everything else. So, no, it's them. And I didn't get all this just because of them, Blog Talk. But, yeah, I'd have to say at my end, everything's working perfectly with everything else. I play games, and they sound perfect. It's only when I come to Blog Talk does I sound like you're talking in a hole, I'm talking in a hole. So,
I'm in one of my two, you know, highly tuned studios here, so I know I'm doing broadcast quality good stuff here with Skype, and you sound good through the phone here to me. So, yeah, let's just hope that they get their technical issues worked out. I do see a caller out there, 623, so we'll go ahead and take that. And let me go ahead and pop that on. Hi, 623.
Hi, John. Hi, Kathy. This is Karen.
Hi.
How
are
you doing?
Pretty good. We're just having a light night tonight. Looks like everybody's out doing whatever they do. And so we're down to about half our normal complement. But you're here. You're a fellow GRI member. What's going on?
Couldn't miss the show. Actually, I'm off tonight, so that's why.
Yay.
I got to do
it. So what's going on in your world? How have you been doing?
Oh, okay. My son's been home for 2 weeks from Kuwait, and he just left Wednesday morning to go back. So that's kind of sad. So, but it's been nice having him home. And he didn't leave me too big of a mess this time. Of course, he wasn't hardly ever home, so.
Oh, so you're kind of feeling the empty nest a little bit there?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
And then I had a family member pass last week also.
Oh, you had a family member that passed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my aunt.
Boy.
My
dad's side. Yeah. She lived a good long life. She was up in her 90s, so, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, she will probably make an appearance for you in the next, you know, several months. She may just be resting and recuperating now, and then when she gets done, she'll pop in. You'll hear from her.
That would be nice. That would be really nice.
Were you close with her?
Well, when I was younger, she did take care of me and my brother for a while when we had first moved out here. My parents were out looking for jobs and all that kind of thing. The last few years, when we used to go out vacation every year, she used to vacation by where she lived, so we'd always see her and have dinner with her every night and all that. But, I'm actually closer to my other one that's left, but.
What did she pass from? You know, because I'm just.
It's the old age, really.
Yeah,
I know she had gotten to where, you know, kind of the Alzheimer's thing, you know, where she wasn't remembering stuff and all that kind of stuff, so.
Yeah, I'm just feeling it because I was wondering because I was feeling like she had respiratory things going on or something. I don't know, but yeah, my instinct is she's just kind of resting right now. I think you're going to hear from her. You know, you just pay attention to. You know, one of the things that I've been reading with this Cheryl Booth, who I talked about in the other show, this medium that's actually just down the road from me in Orangevale, is where she's living out of, and she travels all over the United States. And I'm reading her book, you know, Johnny Angel Is My Brother. And she goes through quite a bit about their whole process on the other side of how it is when they do cross and some of the things that they go through. And she worked with another medium by the name of Brian Edward Hurst. And he's retired now, although he does occasional gatherings. And he's what's called a physical medium, and it's really interesting stuff that they do. The physical mediums, you don't see them hardly anymore, and they can actually produce physical effects like levitation. You know, you've heard of ectoplasm, things like that.
Yeah.
He was around all of that, so it's a fascinating story, you know, to see these people, and then to run into somebody who actually knew this other medium, you know, and she's right down the road from me, so I'm going to actually book an appointment with her. Probably November, December, and actually get out to see her. And, you know, when she gets done with her travel, she's all over the place. I think she's in Oregon right now. But she wrote me a real gracious letter back as I was asking about starting a medium circle, you know, mediumship circle in my area and working with other mediums, you know, student mediums in training, because that's part of the assignment that I have to go through for, you know, the class that I'm in. Is the self-paced learning is to actually get together and we keep a log and we track what we're going through. So I am starting a medium circle. I'm going to have to do it because I can't find any around here. So
might as well start your own. That's cool.
Damn straight. So I'm putting it out to the universe. And that's what I wanted to share with you guys. One of the things in this book that was so cool was this technique. If you want something in your life, It was funny because Cheryl Booth in this book of hers writes about she was going trying to get into college and she was promised that she was going to get this scholarship, then it was taken away, and a friend of hers who knew her mother before her mother died popped in and listened to all this and said, okay, I'm going to help you with this. And she gave Cheryl this assignment, which was to go out and buy a big poster board, magic marker, and a big stack of magazines. And she had her cut out all of the things that she wanted for a dream of hers. So in this case, it was the scholarship. And so she cut out all these things and put them together in a big montage. And then on top, wrote out a single sentence of what she wanted. And then the assignment was to put that thing up, not where she saw it every living waking moment, but like in a hallway or where she would just pass by it constantly. And what it is it's you telling your subconscious what your heart's desire is. And so she did this. And a week later, she gets a call that the rules had been changed. There was a technical reason she couldn't get the scholarship. She was called a week later and was given the scholarship. She got a free ticket to school for 3 years, and was able to complete her degree.
Well, that's what I'm doing wrong then.
What's that?
Because I've done something similar. I wrote a check out for like $2 million.
to
me, and I got it up on the bulletin board, and I put a number 8 on it. And I got it, said it's from the universe. But I didn't write that, that's what I wanted. I just put the check up there with my name on it.
Well, you did the check. That's like the first part of it. But put it on a poster board and then go find a bunch of old magazines and cut out everything that has to do with money. And then what you will get from the money. I mean, because it just asking for the physical thing isn't enough. What is it going to translate for you?
Okay.
So, I mean,
it's
yeah,
it hasn't worked yet.
That's the thing is, when you're asking, you took the very first step towards it, but it's the next step is what to do with it, and then throw some emotion in it because it's how it makes you feel when you look at it, So I think, give that a try. I'll challenge other people out there in the audience to give this a whirl. For Quinny out there, she's sick and she's going through all this. Put together a little one that shows you healthy, put like a picture of you up there with you feeling better, and then have your subconscious do the necessary things to help you with that. Dominica, you with your community center, the things that you want and all that, here you are, the artist that you are, and I know you're a darn good artist. You ought to see her stuff, by the way. She does some great artwork. She could do one, dash one out really quick, and it would be, for her community center and the things she wants to do to bring people together. So, in my case, it's to get an extremely fast warbird and to be able to fly it and have enough money to fly it and go, wow, I'm going quick. And then to land it on a haunted carrier. That'd be cool. Actually, I've got more pragmatic things, but I'm just kind of giving you the point. Your heart's desires are reachable. You can do that. And these tools like this actually do work. It was so surprising to see Cheryl's, what happened with Cheryl. When I read that, I just went, that's so simple. It's not even digital. It's like you actually get out, scissors and actual reality, and you're cutting out pictures from magazines. So, Dom, all you have to do is just get a poster board and some cut out pictures from magazines of what you want. So imagine your community center. If you want to do community work or something, cut out pictures where there's lots of people, and then how you want it to be. What do you want it to be about with the community? The community work that you're doing. Kind of visualize that and have it actually in your face in picture form, because that's how the subconscious works. It works through this means of being able to, because we're very visual animals. From that standpoint, we see everything visually, and it has to be something we can see and touch and almost taste, and then it becomes real for us. So if you can do that, I think it would be You know, interesting. In your case, the $2 million, I'd put pictures of money. I'd get a bunch of old financial magazines and just do that. You know, I mean, Karen, and then when you get rich, you know, you can fly us all out. So
that's right. We can go hunting everywhere.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we'll go hunting over at Dominica's, and she'll have this big community center, and we'll all be sitting around the table going, "Wow, this is so cool. What else are we going to visualize today?" I think we should do that. I'm going to visualize like the Congress being responsible. There we go. You know, actually caring about, you know.
I know my son said, "Well,
maybe that's really
important."
My
son said,
"Good luck with that one."
why only $2 million? Why don't you put more? And I was like, "Well, I didn't want to be greedy."
Actually,
how much does one really need? You know.
$2 million is kind of a passe. I mean, if you're going to go for it, you know, go for $25 million. You know, that's a good rate. Go for 25.
Wow.
$25 million will set you up for life, and you just sit back and you just live off the interest, and you're set.
About $2 million would. Well, maybe I'll ask for a little more.
$25 million. That way, you know, you can take
some to all my friends.
Yeah. I think that the whole thing is wrong. When you get into, you go to school and you get out, they should hand you a check for $10 million right on the spot. And then, you figure it out. You decide, are you going to make it last, or are you going to invest it and do good with it, or are you going to go out and drink it all up? You know, are you going to lose it all? You know, but everybody gets a check, you know, and I mean, consider what they're doing with the stimulus right now, and none of it is really working. Why don't we just hand these this money to these kids and say, "Hey, what are you going to do with it?" And we'll train you on how to handle the money, and it's your choice what you're going to do or not. And then watch what happens. I think it would be a surprising lesson for a generation or two if we actually did something that crazy, you know. Because I think it would be sure you'd have some of the tragic stories, but I think there would be the ones that would be raging successes. So I don't know, but anyway. So this aunt who passed away. What is her name?
Millie? Mildred, I guess. Called her Aunt Millie.
Aunt Millie? Mm-hmm. All right. I think probably not tonight, but we'll probably do a soul stream if you're up for that. I just kind of feel like she'll probably – I don't think she's ready to talk yet, but I think she will be.
It's too soon.
You know.
Yeah.
Huh?
It's too soon.
Yeah, I think it's too soon, too. I mean, when did she – this just happened?
Like last week, yeah.
Oh, my. So yeah, she's probably just kicking back. And that's funny. I was just reading that in this Cheryl Booth thing, talking about how some of the older souls need to have what she called like a heavenly shower to get rid of the some of the negativity and the different things that the earth brought along. And there's actually spirits that show up when you do pass who are kind of in the guise of paramedics. And everything is thought forms there, so they show up as paramedics, but they're on the other side receiving you, and these spirits who show up are sometimes confused, and so this kind of eases them into the whole process. And I just laugh. That's pretty cool, actually, to do that.
That's what I've read too, and a lot of people say that there's you have to adjust. You know, there's an adjustment period because it's so. You're used to a body and this heaviness, and here, you know, you're in a different vibration. It's lighter, and it's just in a whole adjustment, you know, that you have to go through.
Yeah.
And they even have counselors for people that have trouble, you know.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, one of the things she was talking about was that there are different levels. Actually, it's levels to different, you know, it's not just one place. There's many different,
levels,
you know, it's like you go up. Pardon me?
I truly believe that, yes.
Yeah, it's just that there's these stepping stones getting closer and closer to God, if you will, I believe. So it's funny, I mean, because like her brother was this extremely evolved soul, and he was actually taking classes on how to help people here in this dimension And so he when he came back and was talking with Cheryl, he was talking about some of the things that he did. Like one of his assignments was to come back and manifest as a solid person briefly. And he was manifesting as a bum. And then he would come in and he would touch people who were really sick. And he had a touch that he could heal people. So that was his job. He was like an angel sent back to basically heal people. So he and then he would do these things, and he was practicing on Cheryl. He would get Cheryl's attention and have a conversation with her, and then he'd work on her because she had some injuries from a motorcycle accident. And so I was just reading this, I'm going, wow, that is cool. I mean, the fact that they actually come back and actually manifest as living, solid, people briefly, and then just melt away. I mean,
I totally believe that. How many times have we heard stories of people, like, being in accidents and gotten pulled out by somebody, and it was a solid person that they talked to, and then they just vanished, and it was like an angel, but they looked like a solid, real person.
That's neat. I mean, I had that experience aboard the USS, the Queen Mary. Yeah, the HMS Queen Mary. That guy looked real. I mean, it was like, right down to the bad breath. I mean, it was like, he was there, and then he was gone.
That's a little too real, but
it was spooky. I mean, he would have had to run in a sprint to get away. I mean, all I did was turn around and come right back, and I would have seen him hurrying off, Spencer Hughes is here.
Yay. Speaking of this, I was listening to a very interesting radio show on Coast the other night. A guy named Paul Eno. He has a website, it's New England Paranormal Society or whatever, but he has a website called BehindTheParanormal.com, and he does a radio show. And everybody might find him really interesting. He has kind of a real different take, especially he's not really fond of ghost hunters. He doesn't like the word hunters, which I really don't like either, but it's just, easy to say. He goes beyond a little bit. He's been doing this for like 30 years. And some of the things he had to say were very interesting, very interesting. And I think he might have the right idea on some things. I forget the names of what he calls these things. What do you call them? Parasites? Where a lot of people think there's like a demon or demonic or whatever. He says they're actually creatures that I believe he calls parasites kind of creatures. And they feed on negativity.
Yeah.
And hate and stuff like that. So they actually cause things. But they're from another dimension, basically. They're from other dimensions. And he mentioned a place where these people in his house were having problems. They moved in, they had a good relationship, all this stuff. But out in the backyard, in another dimension, some killings were taking place. Okay, so this parasite was feeding off that. Because people say, time and different lives and whatever actually are now. There is no really past and future. Everything is now kind of thing.
Yeah.
But he said,
and how much of that do you believe in, Karen?
Well, I do believe there are other dimensions. And but this parasite thing, I've never really thought of, but it does kind of explain some things. Because when it wasn't feeding off, it didn't get enough of the negativity, it went to the house and was getting their negativity, which creates more negativity, And he's actually been able to, because I guess he's a medium, so is his son, whatever, but he's been able to actually... He ghost hunts, too, so he uses some equipment and stuff. But he says some of these things, they're bad, they're nasty, but they're also, some of them you know, they're sorry. They actually got one. He said, and some of them are kind of female and some of them are kind of male feeling. And he's actually kind of felt one before. And he felt the bone structure, the spine. And he says, it's not like a human. And it's kind of mushy. But he said that he said there were one of them, like this womanish kind of one, was saying she was sorry that she had to, like, suck them. But she had to survive. She had to do it. She didn't like doing it, but she had to do it. And it was this parasite thing from another dimension. And he also talked of some alien kind of being from other dimensions and stuff like that. That are affecting people now. That are some of these ghosts and spirits that we say are ghosts and spirits are actually some of these creatures from other dimensions.
I've always felt that there were multiple, that we were running into those kind of things, that there's a whole ecology like that. I mean, it makes absolute sense, because if you look at just go out in nature right now and look at the animals that we see out in nature or in the ocean. You know, there's all these different niches that they occupy, you know, doing the things they do, feeding on you know, whatever is out there. And emotional energy that we as human beings and animals have, and other spirits have, are a currency. It's a commodity, and it is something that, you know, is tangible. I mean, we feel it. We know intuitively that there's an immense worth to it and an immense worth to spirit. So, you know, I'm inclined to agree with you on this, because I do think that there are different animal forms out there, that if you want to call it that, that can, you know, cross dimensions, and that they've evolved over the long history of this universe just for that purpose, just like you're talking about.
I mean, like you said, when we go into a hunt and these, you know, spirit energies, I mean, they use your energy. They suck your energy from you. So
yeah.
So it's kind of the same thing. You know, these things are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a few books out. One is called Footsteps in the Attic, and the other one's called Turning Home, and he's got a new one coming out soon. But if anybody's interested, go look at the website and stuff. It's really interesting. It's called BehindTheParanormal.com.
You can actually, BehindTheParanormal.com.
Mm-hmm. And no, he didn't pay me. I don't even know the man. I just thought you'd be interested.
I'm going to post that up here. Let me post that. BehindTheParanormal.com.
Uh-huh.
Actually, it kind of makes
sense.
And
I do believe in that too, Karen. I do believe there are other dimensions. And I feel that at times dimensions are blending in with ours. We're all blending in together.
Yes.
I don't know if it's because of all the energy we're producing.
And I believe that. I believe more and more, like we say, the veil's thinning between dimensions and stuff, you know? Or we're just becoming more in tuned with it.
I don't know if it's so much in tuned as we're just, the feeling I'm getting is because of our energy, we're all sending out energy for one thing or the other, for, you know, like prayers for somebody that's lost someone else, or for the earth because of what's going on down in the Gulf. But whatever the reason is, we're just all sending positive energy out. And it wouldn't matter what kind of energy. As long as it's energy, the point is when you do that, you're gonna wake up some other ones from other dimensions, and they're going to be able to tune in, gather up, and we're starting to blend in together.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. I mean, I was just before we did the shows tonight, I was with my folks, and you know, it's kind of the analogy, and this is kind of, actually, it's just kind of a cool one, because have you guys seen those crystal caves down in Mexico, those giant selenite crystals that are like the size of a bus?
Yeah, I've seen that on TV. It's like, wow.
Yeah. There's like this joke that was on. It was just like amazing. And you know, it was so hot down there, and they were showing how they bored in and were going straight into these, you know, this cave, and the secrets and the things that they were learning. You know, the cave was teaching all these different things, because it was, you know, a lot of our origins come from conditions like that, that the origin of life on Earth. And what was striking to me was, on the surface, you would never see any of that. And that's kind of how reality is. You know, a lot of people look at the paranormal with a mystical overtone, and there's some of that, sure. But really, when it comes down to it, there's just, you know, there's just underpinnings. And our reality is a consequence of you know, the mission and the reason why we're here. God saw to that. But there's a lot of things that support that, this level, and all the other higher levels, too, that are all intricate and all woven together in ways we can't understand. And people just, you know, it's like I was telling this reporter last night, you know, when I kind of touched on this subject, I said, look, it's all interconnected. It's all, you know, people think, you know, because she was going, well, don't you think it's weird and, you know, it's not normal? And I go, well, what is normal but, you know, built off of the abnormal? Do you understand where the universe came from? And she's going, no. And I'm like, well, there you go. So, you know, really, you know, when, you know, what makes people uncomfortable is when you start talking about all the things that you have no knowledge of and the unknown that might make it all up and the inferences we get and the clues we get from the paranormal. So this site that you're talking about, you know, looks like a good one. I mean, I'll check that out. And that's the deal. I mean, that's why we do this work. You know, we go out there in the field and we face this stuff down. I mean, Spencer is out there listening, and you know, he's on the team, and him and I were out there last night working in this place, and we had, you know, a fairly light night of activity, but we had activity, and it was very strange stuff that was going on, and you know, and that's the whole reason for it, because we want to know why. Personally, I want to know the physics. I want to understand, what is a ghost really? You know, is it electricity that's, you know, held together in some self-repeating pattern? Is it more than that, which I'm sure, I mean, there's spirit involved for sure, and spirit is a whole different quality. But, you know, it's just, and then on top of it, you know, I mean, here you are, Karen, talking about the dimensions with different creatures, actual animals, which I've always had the sneaking suspicion that that's exactly what it was, a form of life, you know, and really life forms. I mean, that's essentially what you're saying, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh, yes. Well, that's what he was kind of saying, too, something about us, how we say that, you know, we're spirits. I don't quite understand, but he didn't seem to believe in just spirit. He says, what, we're just this little energy running around? He says, no, we are also body. We may be spirit, but we also need body. So that's what he's saying, like when we pass over, we actually go to another dimension. And he said basically that these people on the other side, what we call spirits or ghosts or whatever, are just people, and they're going about their daily lives. They're working. They're doing whatever, you know. And we look to them, you know, kind of the same. We're like a little ball of light or whatever, you know, to them. We're interrupting their world, so to speak.
No,
sometimes we scare them. That's what he said. Sometimes we scare them. They're scared of us because here's, you know, they're like us. They're going through a house saying, is anybody here? You know, acting like they're the ones that are out of place. And to us, we're out of, you know, we're the ones out of place. And in some cases, I don't, maybe if not all cases, but in some cases, I think that could be somewhat true. I have to wonder sometimes.
Well, there is a theory called you know, multiverses, where you have you know, at any one moment, if you believe in time, that this universe suddenly spawns off infinite numbers of other universes with all different possibilities. So, you know, in a universe right now, you're the show host, and I'm a caller calling in, and you're running Soulstream. You know, so I mean, and that's how it could be. Or Spencer, you know. I'm the host of Fox Across America, and Spencer is running the show, and I'm living out, you know, a life in a completely different way than I am now, and Spencer's doing something else, you know, and going, you know, and he's feeling like somewhere I'm a host in a different universe on Fox News. He's saying the same thing, but he's speaking it. It gets kind of weird, but I mean, it gives you the point, is that there's this infinitude of universes that are all kind of overlapping at times, and they occasionally bleed through to each other, is what you're kind of talking about. And that's been discussed.
Like Somebody said, another guy, he said his brother had passed over, and he was a medium, and he was in touch with his brother. And he's wrote a book about questions that his brother has been giving him answers to from the other side. And
yeah.
His brother said that when he asked about reincarnation, nobody would answer him. And so he said, according to him, there is no reincarnation. He says, nobody will talk about it. And then you look at where everybody says that, yeah, we have reincarnations, but then if there is no past and there is no future, our other lives that we are living are actually right now. We're living them all at this moment. And, in, you know, so in some dimensions or some life, you're dead already, and some you're not, and you know what I mean?
Well, you know, that's... I think
just because I'm alive in this life doesn't mean I haven't died in another one already.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, that's one of the things they talk about, that you might be dead in this other universe, but in this other one you're alive and doing your thing. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, what it talks about, though, that's like the mechanism. You know, we're talking about like the inner workings of the clock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the clock maker is kind of out, you know, outside the whole equation here. I mean, you know, when you really get back to God. And then at a level even above that, I mean, you would have hierarchies that would be in charge with angels, angelic presences, things like that, and actual spirit, you know, spiritual energy, spirit souls that are.
Hello?
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 We love John.
Philip's gone.
I think behind it where.
Oh, he's still talking.
We lost you for a minute there, John.
What's that?
We lost you.
Oh, I dropped off?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Where did I drop off?
Between here and there.
Hell, that's really helpful. I'll have to do some psychic work. So something knocked me down.
He dropped out of the plane. Hope he had his parachute.
It's past life. Pretty good. Actually, but I'll tell you what. I'll just take it from a slightly different tack. You know, I just think that there is a hierarchy of spirit that, you know, even if we are have multiple universes and everybody's off, you know, your soul is living in an infinite number of lives. I was talking about, before I dropped off, about the watchmaker, you know, God being the creator of this immense mechanism that's doing all these things. But I think that souls, you know, souls eventually kind of transcend that and come out to the next layer above and can look at the watch and look at the mechanism and know the difference.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because, I mean, you know, I mean, Kathy, I mean, we constantly run into angelic energy. We run into angels all the time, and I don't think that they're caught up in all of that, you know?
No.
Yeah. It's just, I just think that...
Everybody comes here or other places either.
Yeah, I mean, some people have, you know, I've read one kind of off the wall book that talked about this being like a prison planet. And I'm going, I don't know that it's that. I mean, that's kind of harsh, you know. I mean, I don't feel like I'm in prison. You know, I mean, yeah, it's hard. There's things in here that are kind of sucky, and yeah, we got to go through. But do you feel like you're in prison? I don't.
I have heard that this is the hardest place to come to. That's not every soul comes here because that we should be congratulating ourselves and, you know, patting ourselves on the back that we were brave enough to come here, because this is the hardest place to come out of all the places we could go. Yeah, that's what I've read by a few people saying that.
Yeah, I just, I really like my life here. You know, this, you know, sure, there's a few things I'd change, you know, including, you know, I think I'm going to write the $25 million check to myself, like what you did. And then,
I'm with Veronica. I don't feel like this is a prison planet either. I've heard it, but, you know, named that from a few people, but
I don't
feel like it's
that
a...
Because that means we were sent here.
I do feel
here.
That it's a stopover. I don't believe this was a permanent place for humanity. And I believe we need to, you know, find another way to treat it, because we've really treated it rough.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
I,
you know,
we all chose to come here, so it couldn't be a prison because we chose to come here.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I've traveled over a significant portion of this country and have seen, you know, I've partied on top of icebergs in the Arctic Circle and made margaritas out there. I've stood on a lava, hours-old earth and watched a river of lava go right by me. I've seen beautiful sunsets in the Pacific and been out in the desert and in Arizona, which is just stunning at night to watch a sunset, you know, and see the day come to an end. I mean, this world, we can kind of downgrade it, but when you look at the stars at night and you look at our dimensions and even with us in, quote, this lower vibration, it's amazing, you know. I mean, it really is. It's an amazing creation. And
it is.
So I don't feel imprisoned. I feel privileged to be here, but we've been given challenges that are limitation. That's the secret of this whole thing, is that this dimension is about limitation. We've been stripped of some of the things that make it easy for us on that other side. And when we go through our lessons, which are highly customized to our individual training plan, you know, it's tough stuff, you know, but you know, even if we get killed in an accident or whatever, we pop out the other side and go, oh, okay. And I do think that reincarnation happens. I fully believe that that's happened. I mean, I've done past life regression and had experienced lives that I've lived, and I just think, wow, that is something, you know, because, you know, energy never gets destroyed. It just gets transformed. And you know, it seems like an awful waste of a soul to use it once and then just that's it. I think that you go through this over and over again so you get the different perspectives and you can grow from that. And it makes the most sense. It seems intuitive to me. I don't know, but it's just my opinion. You know?
I think it's a good one.
I agree.
Yeah, it's just... you know, and the other thing is I read another book that was so interesting, and I cannot remember the name of this for the life of me, but it talked about the reason for the universe is love. You know, that's the whole point of existence in the entirety.
It's
about
simple.
Love,
yeah.
Love, love.
Look. Love and being able to travel to Safeway. Yeah.
No, 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 no. That's not love. That's prison. No, that's prison.
Oh, no. Oh, my God, the whole point of the universe is Safeway?
Yeah. Oh, God, kill me now.
The executives are going, wait a minute. You know, that man is very wise. Spiritual man. God created Safeway for a reason. You know. Anyway, I don't know. I'm going to be dreaming that I'm trapped in a Safeway forever. I don't know.
Serves you right.
Like that. Yeah.
Probably
Christy,
see me there.
Someone once told me Dominica says, gravity is love too. And F.O. Christie says, all we need is love. Dom says, love is the bottom line. That's true. I mean, it's that simple, you know. You were talking, Karen, about the negative energies, you know, the feeding on the negativity, and yet you can break that so easy just by choosing not to play into that game.
Well, that's what this guy said. He said by going in, showing the people there love and compassion, having them show love and compassion, and actually showing these things, love and compassion, it actually, some of them would hightail it and run, he said. Some of them would become forgiving. So, he said, but yeah, it totally blew them away, that all he had to do was just forgive and show love and compassion, and these things would out of there.
Yeah, it's, I just put in gravity minus lift equals wrecked airplane. Sorry about that. This is kind of at the time. Yeah, we need the wings. And that's, I mean, actually, love is the wings, you know. That's the thing that gets rid of these you know, animals, if you will. And I do think some of them are intelligent. You know, there are, you know, when you have a 12¾ billion year-old universe, you know, there's been a lot of time for a lot of stuff to evolve, you know, and, you know, just like what we have as a species. You know, and I do think that there are other tremendous intellects out there, and, you know, some stuff is good and some stuff is not so good. But, you know, when you trace it all back to the source, you know, they all exist for a reason, you know, and that's been, you know, I do believe that there's free will in the whole thing. You know, God just turned the whole thing loose and said, okay, you know, here's the basic mission, but what happens in between to get there? This is going to be interesting to watch, you know. And I just wonder what, you know, what God's perspective is on all of this, you know, what God sees in all of this, you know, what's the end point, what's the end game, you know? I mean,
yeah,
what,
you know, somebody said that he experiences through us, but that doesn't jive with me that much, because it's like, how many experiences do you need? How many times have people got to have broken hearts and lose the loved one, or, you know what I mean? You know, and I know there are different perspectives, but how many? You know, I don't think that's what he needs. I don't think that's the point.
Well, you know, in my book, the science fiction book I've got, you know, the first installment's basically done, and it has. I'll just give you a little preview of one of the opening scenes have to do with the creation of the universe, and I talk about in the book the void. Which is, you know, the great void is a personality unto herself, and it's a she. And she gives birth to, basically, to what we call the one, which is God. So the void is this giant, is this nothingness that yet has its own intelligence. And it takes many billions of years for her to save up enough energy to create a little ripple that starts like a big bang. And so that's, you know, and she kicks that off. And his challenge, once he is kicked off and she relaxes and goes to rest again, is to take that energy and keep it going. That's all his mission is. He does it by, you know, hook or crook, he's got to figure it out. And so he actually creates copies of himself and creates all these other different universes. And it tries to work out what's the best way, because eventually it runs out unless he can figure out how to make it work. And in the book, I come up with a way to make it work, and it's really cool. And it does have to do with love, and we talk a little bit about that in it. But it also has to do with the nature of independent beings having their own agendas. And doing kind of like what we have here right now. I wonder if there's a connection. But, you know, I put a lot of thought into it. And there's also some justice in it and a little bit of science and a love story or two. So, you know, I think people might like it when it does get out there and I can get it published out on Amazon. You know, I'm still working the title. I'm still not quite sure what I want to call it yet. But I've got a temporary title for it, but I won't say right now. But, I mean, that's that, you know, I do think that existence, I'll change course here. I'll ask the both of you, what do you think happened before the universe was created? Because that's where the kind of my book starts. What do you think? Where do you think this all came from?
As far as what, with us or in general?
Existence itself. I mean, what would have come before? You know, what do your angels tell you about this?
I think energy has always existed, and we've always been energy.
So you think the energy was like in a big bucket, basically waiting to express itself?
Yeah, that's what you know, we were. We were in a big bucket. That's what it was.
it's Kathy's big bucket of energy. It's bucket of universe.
Put that a little nicer. Like we could have been in a bottle of wine or, or you know,
five
a nice dime. Glass or something. No, it has to be a bucket?
No, well, you know, I mean, a
how
bucket
about a
of a bathtub, yeah.
I don't know. that's very interesting because, yeah, I mean, doesn't, to us, being of our minds right now, we think there has to be a start somewhere,
mm-hmm.
you know? But, yeah, it's like it's kind of hard to perceive that something's always been there.
Yeah, I
well, not trying to quote, not trying to quote the Bible or anything, but I guess that's the only place I can go to right now that they actually had it where God claimed that there was a beginning and an end, and he says he was. He's Alpha and Omega, and that's beginning and end. So what does that mean?
I don't know. I don't think that, you know, I think that if there is an end to it, I think it's cyclic. I think that, you know, this is not just some one-time run. You know, to me, it just makes sense that there's a point to the whole thing. You know, and if you know, if it makes us feel better in our little limited view, I mean, to talk about love and all that, great. I mean, even though there are bad things out there, I mean, you know, we all know there are people that are not good, and there's situations that are not good, countries that are not good. You know, just as an expression of their mission and whatever they're doing. You know, it's just. To me, I prefer to look at it from the positive. I think what you were talking about, you know, Karen, with the you know, getting rid of those creatures, you know, that's the key. I mean, if you could just come from your heart, you can live free of all that, you know. And
Garber Daisy, she said that the circle of life, the beginning and the end. What I feel when I, you know, read that the first time when I was a kid, all I could think about was infinity. And infinity has no beginning or end.
Yeah.
No. Somehow I seem to think that we have to start somewhere, but I think once we started, I do believe we started way before the Earth and all that came about. We've been around a long time.
Yeah.
But I don't, I hope not that we don't end, because like you say, energy just changes forms once we formed into this little energy. Maybe that's what we are. We were a little tiny bitty energy, and we've just grown to be bigger balls of energy, and that's what we're doing.
So we went from the teeny thing to a really big universe, really big. You know, try to imagine how big things are. Do you have? I mean, if you stop and think about it, 12 and three quarter billion year old universe, and we're looking at what here? It's double that, that's about 25 billion light years across. That's the size. You know, I mean, so, you know, and if you guys want to, just a perspective on that, one light year, the distance light travels in 1 year. Now, the speed of light is 186,282 miles per second, okay? That is 6 trillion miles in a year. So now you multiply that by 25, you know, billion light years, and you start to get an appreciation of the sheer size and scale of the universe. So to me, that's just an amazing thing. I mean, the fact that it can inflate into this space, how big is the space it's inflating into? You know, what is it inflating into? Is there structure behind that? And I'm sure there is, you know. Yeah, I mean, if we can actually measure the size of it, that means it has a boundary. And if it has a boundary, what does the boundary look like? What's it expanding into? You know, it's just, it's crazy. You know, I mean, we're so, it's like we are a universe contemplating itself. <You know?
Yeah.
laughs> It's kind of weird, yeah.
Mind-boggling.
I don't know, but I know that's, when we get to the other side, we get to experience it. But, hey, you know what? I'm going to give everybody a break here. We've got 56 minutes remaining. The 386 area code, I do see you out there with your hand up. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to go on isolation. We'll put up a song and give everybody a potty break and grab something to drink and all that. So this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. I'm going to go ahead and play I'll play my Arizona song. That's a good one. So we'll come back, a little bit of Arizona music in honor of all our Arizona listeners, including my team member here who's on. So and also we'll be there early this coming spring driving through, and I'll meet Kathy there. So this is appropriate. This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. We'll be back in about 3 or 4 minutes.
Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you are listening to Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio in Studio B, live on blogtalkradio.com.
We got 50 minutes remaining. This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. You're on Soulstream tonight. We've got Kathy and Karen are with me tonight on air. And we're about to take our caller. But before I do that, I'm going to just read off who's out there. Actually, maybe I'm going to recruit Karen. Karen, you're in the chat room.
Oh, I'm not good at that.
Oh, you're good at that. Come on, man. You can do that.
Okay, we have our Dominica Amore, who's here in Arizona with us. Hi, Dom. And Gerber Daisy. And we've got two guests in. And Mark Barone just came in. And Queenie. And I can't even read that other one.
Sapphire Green.
Okay, I don't have my glasses. And Veronica is with us tonight.
Okay, and we have also all the other lurkers out there that we know are walking around. They're lurking. So we're on to you guys. So, and also to the listeners who come in and off archive, hello to you. Thank you for downloading us. So we love that you're out there listening. And I'm going to go ahead and bring 386 on the air and see who we have here. 386, welcome aboard.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. This is Sheena calling from Florida.
From where?
Florida.
Oh, hi from Florida. Sheena, okay, good to hear you.
Yes, yes, thank you for taking my call. It's great to say hi to you all. I was wondering if you can help me out on some love advice.
Love advice? Well, between the three of us, I think we might be able to pull something off. What's going on with you? You're in Sheena, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. All right. So what is going on with you, Sheena?
Well, I'm involved with this older Leo male. And at first, you know, it was kind of, you know, real light and soft and playful. And now I'm starting to develop feelings for this guy. And I was wondering if, you know, he had feelings for me or if he would, you know, possibly eventually, you know, gain feelings for me and if we would, you know, continue, you know, on into a serious relationship.
You know, have you called in before? Your name is, or your voice sounds familiar. Have we had you on before?
Maybe so, and it probably was a while back.
Okay, and because I remember we've talked with you in the past, and I've always advised you, you know, basically the only way you're really going to know with him is to go kind of put it out there. And and I knew that, is this the same guy we talked about before?
No, I'm not sure. This is a new guy that came into my life about a month or two ago. And actually, I was...
So,
I was dealing with a younger guy, and we started to get close, but then some things happened. He had legal issues, and I haven't heard from him since. And so this new guy came in, and I just expected for them to be friends, and now, you know, I'm kind of getting feelings for him. And I just want to know, you know, if he has good intentions for me and if he wants to, you know, eventually be in a relationship with me.
Well, the only way you're going to find out, hon, is, you know, really when it comes to love, the best way you're going to find out is verbally with him and kind of put it out there. You know, from a metaphysical perspective and all that, you really, the best you can do is just get out there and then put it out there and see if you are getting his interest and trust your instincts. The other thing is that you do have guides who work with you, and the sense I get with you is you're externalizing this, you know, outside of yourself, and you really need to look in your own heart and look within your own soul, because you do have that wisdom with you, and you will know if he is, you know, into you or not. I'm not getting a clear picture either way, you know. So, and tonight, I've had a rough night and a rough week, and I'm not going to be able to tune in much. That's why we're having kind of a talk show tonight, and I just am not going to be able to do a direct reading on this. But what I can say to you is that, you know, I do know this much: your guides are very much with you, just as they are with me, and. If you open up and just trust your instincts, you know, and ask for, you know, and actually this is a good idea. If you've been listening in, you heard that thing about the poster board that I was talking about. Did you hear? Okay, so. Pardon me?
I just kind of tuned in, yeah, and then I just tuned in, so I didn't catch that part.
Okay, well, I'll give you the technique. It's real simple. Just get some poster board and get a nice magic marker or pen, and then cut out a bunch of pictures of you know, related to the situation that you want to have happen. Now, I'll say this much: you're externalizing this to this particular individual or that, because I remember you've called in one or two times. And what I kind of the sense I get with this, and I am getting some information from the other side now they're popping in, because even in my weird state right now, I'm getting something. And what they're talking about is it's not so much the guy that you, this guy or that guy, it's the right guy that will come, that will see you, and you'll strike his fancy. And basically, you're going to be picturing yourself in this as the person that you want to become. Or the part that you want to accentuate of yourself and to improve on yourself and to become a bright light to attract the right man. So that's the point. That's the goal here, is to cut out some pictures from magazines that kind of paint the picture that you're trying to make happen. And then to just set the. And what you do is, when you finish that, don't make it too gaudy. Don't put too much into it. You're just painting a picture for your subconscious to be able to take and use. And actually, this does work. It's a very powerful technique. This takes it from being you calling into a show and asking for advice to you proactively, you know, making a contract with yourself to attract the right man, and then use this tool, which will tell your subconscious to do the make the choices and to make the changes that you need to bring him in. So I really think it would be an experiment, and I would really love to have you call back in like a month if you promise to do this. And have you call in and see what's been happening with you, because I think that might be the trick for you.
Right. I don't want you. I guess I don't want you to tell me the future. I just want to know if this guy has good intentions for me at the moment. You know.
Actually, I don't. Personally, I'll tell you what. What I feel right now is that you're coming from a place that is, you know, it's just like I said about this whole. The idea of using this tool, you know, what you're doing right now is you're in a pattern, and you know this is a pattern where, you know, expectations are high, you hit the point of reality, and then it goes down, and then you meet another guy, and it goes on and on. So I really think that this is just to be very honest, I think that this gentleman is he's a nice enough guy, but the question is he into you? I don't feel it personally, but I think it all points back to you, you need to look within and make this change and look at with yourself and say, what is it that I need to change in myself? And then use this board idea that I'm talking about. It's going to interrupt that and it'll break that cycle. And because, you've been through a few of these and this would help you a bunch. I really think so. So, look within stop and really think about it tonight before you go to bed. Really kind of reflect back and look within. This is probably one of the better readings you're going to get for a while, even though I'm not at my top form right now, but it really will end this cycle. I just don't feel it with this guy. I don't know why, but it's there's interest, but it's not in the way you want. It's not in the way that you would expect as a lady, to be held I wouldn't say on a pedestal, but close to it. Okay, you know what I'm saying? You still there? Hello? I think we lost her.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and hang that one up. And sometimes when you tell people the truth and tell them what they need to hear, that's tough. But the bottom line is, and that's been a repeat caller. So it's tough when you have going through a pattern like that, and you see.
Well,
people
I'd like to say something if she's going to listen to the archives, and I won't repeat myself, but I think she needs to learn to love herself first. She's looking for someone else to grab a hold of her and love her for what she could do for herself. And as soon as she starts loving herself, then she'll find true love. It won't matter. She'll want them to expect, to take her for who she is then instead of what she's got to be for them.
That's exactly what
I got when she first called was the first thing that popped in my head is she needs to love herself.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just that you guys paraphrased it and actually zeroed in better than I did because it just is, you're literally, when these people call in and they're putting she's putting her heart in your hand, and you want to do the right thing and you want to give a good reading to them. But when you see the patterns, and Spirit's telling you what to tell them, and
it's tough. You're braver than us, John, because we didn't want to say anything.
Well,
yeah, I really didn't, because I can get rather rough at times with people, and I really get upset with them for not thinking for themselves. This is why Quinny and I have a show on Mondays where the show is actually titled Learn to Read Yourself or Have Fun Trying, because it's really about common sense. And she says that she hasn't been going with him that long or been interested in him that long, so she's not even giving the guy a chance.
Yeah, it's, honestly, what I was getting was, that there's just this more animal, kind of like an animal attraction, if you will, and that it sounds bad, but it's just, it's a surface attraction. It's not the soulmate type thing. And that's what she seems to be wanting is a soulmate and a true love.
Well, she's got to learn to work with her own soul before she can expect any other soul to start coming her way.
That's exactly right. I mean, loving yourself and being comfortable in your own skin is the number one first thing. And that's kind of what, the point I was really trying to make with her is, use this tool to interrupt that pattern, because that's where the problem is lying, is she's just needing to look within. And when she does that, she likes the person she sees in the mirror, and she takes the time to invest in herself first, she'll become this bright light, and then she can't help but attract the right guy. And that might be... it's funny, some people call in and when you tell them this stuff, the idea of actually changing the situation, because they're so used to it always going wrong or always going through the cycle, it kind of scares them, because what happens if I succeed? you know, and that can be scary too, you know. But if you really are sincerely, you want that to break, and you want the relationship, that's what you're gonna have to do, you know. It's tough. It's really tough, you know. Matters of the heart are the toughest thing for readers and mediums to work with, you know. It's like,
and I don't
it's
mind,
just,
you know, I don't mind when people call in with that, you know, for reading and all, when it's sincere, you know, like a lost loved one or really truly you've hit your wits end on things. But when it's just for, you know, a relationship or a job, it takes common sense. Common sense is look at the what's going on around us. All jobs are hard to find. That's common sense. Or am I going to find one? I'll find one if I, you know, ask for anything. Yeah. But, it's just, you know, common sense and reality is something that a lot of these people really, and another thing, they like to call to have somebody else to blame if it doesn't work out.
Yeah, that's
it's
the
just
thing.
Just, and then they hang up. Then they hang up and they're still set with the same crap that they called in for.
I just,
still feeling that loss.
Yeah, well, I just think that the thing to do, you know, for her is just she needs to just, you know, dig deep, look within, and really be an honestly assess. You know, I mean, this show, I mean, what we do on this show is mostly, you know, on the normal Soulstream nights is when I'm connecting people who are grievously in pain to those they've lost, the people who have passed, you know, usually through some accident, things like that.
Yeah.
But there's the psychic, you know, the actual psychics out there. I mean, I'm psychic, but I'm mostly medium. And so when I'm doing this work on Thursday nights, it's really, you know, to try to help people who feel better about a loved one they've lost, you know, but
trying along to, with that mediumship, you've got the love, and along with the love, you've got that, what most of us have, we have that psychological aspect about ourselves to where it's, you know, it's 10% mediumship and it's 90%, you know, psychiatry, because most people just want somebody to talk to convince
yeah.
them that what they're doing is right.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, a lot of people do need that kind of external approval thing. You're exactly right. Most of this is common sense stuff. I mean, when you really get down to it, there is an element, you know, I mean, I feel like I'll be talking, this is like what happened here. I mean, I'm really not up to my normal form right now for doing readings. But,
I
mean, Spirit was just going, okay, you know, this, you're right on, and this is what you need to say. And I'm going, okay. You know, and it's like her guides were coming through to mine, just, you know, passing the message on, you know, and really, you know, they communicate with us in thought forms. You know, that's what they do. And, you know, it's one thing for me to work with the ones on the other side who are, you know, trying to get through to their relatives. But, you know, this is a real here and now on this side issue. And this is the toughest school, you know, I mean, and there's fear, you know, in relationships. When you're putting yourself out there and you really love somebody, or you're saying, you know, please help me, somebody love me. You know, first, you know, you've got to love yourself, just as you pointed out. And that's the hardest thing to tell folks. You know, it's tough. You know, you got to like the person you see in the mirror first before somebody else, you know, because if you don't like you, can you make someone else like you or love you? I just think that's not possible. I think it's just, you know, you've got to be comfortable in your skin. And
I think when you do that, you end up with any kind of guy. It doesn't matter what kind.
Yeah.
And
you
end
know,
up with either from sugar to shit or crap to, you know, to whatever. But
you know,
I'm point blank when it comes to that. And I just, you know.
I think it may be confusing because I know it was kind of to me. Somebody said you had to learn to love yourself. And I think that might be a little confusing because when people say love yourself, well, yeah, you know, I love myself. But I think there's a little more to it than that. You have to actually, I think it's more of finding yourself. You have to go out. You have to find things that you're interested in. You got to find things that make you happy and do them. And in doing so, you will feel better about yourself. You will meet new people. It just, like you say, it makes your light shine more. It's not exactly just about saying, oh, I love myself. It's, although looking in the mirror and saying that often does help. but is doing these things that make you happy, you know, that you find interesting and that make you happy, and that helps lead you to it also.
And when you're in that mode, when you're in that mode of doing that, then you attract the right ones. Then you attract them, and then you've got so many of them, you've got to push them off with a stick, you know?
You know, I have met people who have that confidence. You know, and women seem to love that. I mean, you ladies like the confident male, and when the confidence comes in, and men like confident women, you know, and there's just this magnetism that happens when people have that, when they're truly in their space and they're really happy and they're just exuding who they are, and it's not an act, and you can immediately sense that. It's just the most attractive thing there is, you know. I mean, and it transcends physical beauty even. I mean, when you see somebody being really authentic and just, you know, coming from their heart and it shines, I mean, people want to be around that. That's like, it's like you were talking about the negative, you know, animals that are out there that feed on negativity. There's also the ones that feed on positive stuff, you know, and the good energy, and people want that. They love that. So
the energy you put out is what's going to come around you. It's what you're going to attract.
Yeah.
And John, you got some more callers.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I see. I see the 908 out there. Let me see. Is there any more? But doesn't have 908 doesn't have the hand up, so I'm not sure that they want to call in. But. Let me just take it and see who it is, just real quick. 908, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, is this a Quinny?
This is the Quinny.
This is the Quinny. Hello, Quinny. How are you?
I'm better. I can breathe out of my nose now.
Yay.
Bless your heart.
All hail Quinny's nose. All hail Quinny's nose.
The nose is so sore.
Oh, aww. You poor thing. How are you doing, sweetie?
I'm doing all right.
You're doing all right?
Yeah. I'm hanging in.
What brings you to our camp here tonight, my friend, although you are always...
Don told me to call in.
Oh, you want to talk about some guy that is... and you want to talk about some guy that might be hanging around you.
I'd like to know what he has to say about someone calling me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Somebody is calling you? Am I sensing another man is trying to call you right now?
Not at this moment. He called earlier.
Oh, that's not good. And I already can hear it in your voice, so I kind of know some of it. But, I'm just tuning in to see if I can get anything. Admittedly, I'm a little under the weather myself tonight, so I'm just going to see how far I get here.
And we were supposed to talk this weekend, but I was too sick. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I've had my own little challenges going on. He's been kind of, you know, he hasn't been around my place for a while, so I haven't seen him. He's like, he has just been, he's been hanging with you because of the illness. I know that.
Yeah, he's been around. I felt him around.
I'll ask him to pop in here, you know, for, see if he comes through for tonight and doesn't. No, I got a cold spot right next to me. Okay, so he is around. That was instant. He's to my left.
Yeah, he's like automatic.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, he knows me, so he's like, yeah. I mean, I'm getting cold. I'm surrounded in cold right now. My arms are getting cold. Okay, so it's him. Yeah, Rich, right? Richie? Is it Richie?
Yes.
Yeah, so, okay, Rich. I'm just going to call him Rich because, you know. But, he doesn't like what's going on. No.
Mm-hmm.
He's not too happy about that. He's still got the human side of him that's kind of still possessive of you, if you will. Although he's learning to let go.
Mm-hmm.
expects you to be happy to move on, but is this person making a move on you?
Yeah.
That's a little early.
Yeah, I don't think he knows. I dated him last year. I didn't get a chance to tell him because there's that language barrier, and he's like, I'll just call you tomorrow. Okay.
Oh, so this was before you were around, you know, Rich?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's kind of coming in. Was he aware that Rich had been in the game?
No.
Okay, so this is just sort of a karmic thing coming on. And so there's no negative intent here, but he's just trying to rekindle it?
Yeah, and supposedly he stopped all his bad stuff and is getting himself together, but I
don't believe that.
Yeah. Neither do I.
No, it's like a...
I was getting, I don't like this feeling.
Yeah, what I'm getting right now...
not right about this.
No, this is all, the word undercover comes to mind. He's very much undercover and not wanting to, he's saying one thing and doing another. That's the thing I get.
Yeah.
And he's the other word, shifty.
Yeah.
That's the other word I'm getting is being shown here. All talk, no go. Is that what Richie said? All talk, no show. All talk, no go, or all talk, no show. But I mean, he's just like, he's just a big talker. Okay. Basically, Rich wants to beat the crap out of
him. He might ask.
He just said that to me. I'm just going, what? And he's like, he's laughing. He's coming through clear. I mean, even in my state of being right now, I'm like, he's one of the best communicators. He'd like you to just be careful. He's going to deal with him. Okay. I think your friend is going to have himself a visit.
Honestly, I would love that.
I think he's going to have the holy hell scared out of him, and it may end up being something that Rich is getting help. But this is going to have multiple people from the other side involved on this one.
Oh, wow.
He's screwing around. He's got another guy in mind for you, he tells me, but that's down the road. You need some more time to heal up. You're in no condition to even have a relationship right now.
Yeah, no.
And that's just something that's going to take 6 months minimum for you to even wake up to begin looking at that possibility. So... he's okay with you having another relationship, but not this guy. This guy needs to, the impression, okay, I was just shown, grabbed by the scruff of the neck and hauled out and getting his ass kicked. That's shown. And basically just repeatedly, all the way around the block. Is that what you're saying? Okay, all the way around the block. Yeah, that's what he wants to do.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to get that opportunity. Yeah, but he's communicating the picture for him very clearly what he wants, and he's here with me. He's hanging. Well, thanks. No, he's thanking me for. He's very. Rich is very polite.
Yes, he is. He's one of the most polite, charming men I have ever met.
Yeah, and he's going to beat the crap out of this guy, too, spiritually. I like him. The more I get to know him, the more I like this guy.
Now you know why I fell in love with him.
Yeah, he's just a hoot. I mean, the thing that he's this phone call thing, he's wanting you to keep a log of it. And the other thing is, have you called the phone? Have you talked to the police about this yet?
I had blocked him once before when I lived out in Pennsylvania.
Okay, he strikes me as the kind that doesn't get over a no thing easily, and he's got stalker-type tendencies, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of, that's the problem I see here. So it wouldn't hurt to consider just talking to the police and get a little advice and get it on the get it as a file going and just say that, hey, there's, you're a little concerned about it. That's all. He doesn't, you know, and just listen to what they tell you to do. And also just write down all the communications, you know, when it happens, the dates and times. But I get the feeling he's going to, he's just a little bit unstable mentally, you know, and he's just not doing the full part. So, yeah, you just be careful, you know.
I will.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but what's the deal with the food? Why are you? He's talking about the way you're eating.
He doesn't like my chicken soup?
No, he's saying are you cooking enough for yourself? Are you getting enough nutrients? Are you being good?
I'm cooking enough for an army. It's just I don't eat that much.
Then that seems to be it. It's, you know, because he's worried about what you're eating and making sure that you get more for yourself. You know, even if you don't feel like it, you know, you need to push a little more nutrient, even if you have to throw vitamins in the mix and stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, definitely improve on that. Have you been to the doctor?
Yes.
And you're continuing to go?
Yes.
Okay. Well, and this has gone on for 2 weeks now?
Well, it started about 4 weeks ago. The Cipro took it away, and then it came back. So I've been sick again for about another week.
What was the diagnosis? Because I'm getting swine flu.
What I have right now is like a sinus infection, clogged ears, you know.
It's funny because when I went through last September, not this September, the one before, 2009, I was out working and I got hit with this terrible flu. I was down 3 days solid. I mean, I was just floored. Got over it fairly quick and I thought, oh, that wasn't swine flu. And then I got hit again and I had similar symptoms to you. I had a lot of the sinuses were all messed up. I had that. Remember you guys, do you guys remember when I had that cough that would just not go away for 6 months?
Yeah.
You know?
Cough for a while.
Yeah, and I lost my voice and all that different things. That was a very long recovery for me from that, and it was swine flu. I mean, I went through hell, and it left a real lasting mark on me for a while. I'm getting that this is kind of a variation of that with you, Quinny. So just be, go along with the program and the Cipro and all that. They're trying to prevent secondary infections, but
they changed the antibiotic because I was on the Cipro for 10 days already. So,
yeah. Well, push the antivirals. The chicken soup has antivirals. You know, you're doing great with chicken soup. and he's saying virus. And, my instincts just tell me you've really picked up something like an early, you know, like a new version of this bug. You know, swine flu, or, you know, it just feels that way to me, the way they're talking. So
yeah, it started to drop to the chest, but I think I caught it, so.
Yeah.
Head and throat.
Yeah, I went through the second run through. I was about a full 4 weeks, as I remember, where I was just in horrible shape. And then I got over it, and, mostly, but I had that cough, and I kept coughing, and it was in my lungs, and it just it finally resolved when, we went into spring, I started finally getting over it, and I haven't coughed in quite a while, you know, but, yeah, I had that, you know, and I'd be doing the show, and I just couldn't stop doing it, you know, and it finally went away, but just keep going, garlic. You use garlic?
Yes.
Yeah, throw lots of...
I put about 12 cloves in my chicken soup.
Okay. You're doing good. Then you're doing everything you need to. You know, but just and rest and lots of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're doing good. It's just you're not eating enough then.
I wish the fat would say otherwise.
Well, are you, you know, he's pushing this whole thing about your eating. So I don't know what to say, but, you know, eat more. Right now you just need to beef up on this, the nutrients to really kick this thing's butt. So okay. he's all over you about it. What else is he? He's showing me white flowers. I guess this is a token for you. I guess white flowers, not roses, usually as token of love, but he's giving you white flowers. Hmm. What's with the white flowers? They look like little bells. He's showing you bells, white flowers with bells. I didn't get it. So I'm just going to pass this on. So he's giving you like a bundle of flowers, and you know I do think it's a love thing, which he's kind of, yes. So that's a love. It's love for you. He's just handing you these white flowers. They're for you. Are you happy?
They look like little bells.
They look like little bells. They're very dainty.
I know what they are. I've seen them before. I've picked them before. I just can't remember the name of them.
Yeah, I don't know what these, you know, I'm just going on, I'm describing it because I have no idea, you know, even though I raised a lot of plants and stuff, these I've never seen before, but they look like a little bell, and and they're very dainty, and it's just kind of his thing for you with that. So with that, he's kind of pulling back a bit. The temperature's going back up, so he's pulled back. So he's done. He's done, and he's back there with you.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Okay, cool. Totally.
Yeah.
Like for sure?
Yeah.
All. Way cool, man. Totally for sure. Oh. Hello, when they call California? Like totally? Oh, man. Well, let's see. So, hey, Quinn, do you want to stay on the line, or are you just going to listen in from remotely out there?
Sure, I'll stay on the line.
Okay, let's see. I've got a 916 that just popped in, you know, which is my area code here. So I'm going to go ahead and pull up. And we got 15 minutes, so 916, hello.
Hi.
Hi. Who we got here?
Hi, my name's Kayla, and I'm from Sacramento. I've called your show before.
I remember you.
You
have the Greek grandmother with the big glasses, right?
Yep.
That's the one. I knew you. I never forgot that reading. Usually I forget that one was a great reading, and I just love that one. Your grandmother has great energy. You know that? She does. I mean, she made an impression on me. I mean, usually this stuff goes in right one ear and out the other with me, you know, and I know that sounds terrible. And when you do the work, you know, it's just that's the way they wire it for you, and you just, because it's not your reading to keep. But that one stuck with me. So, you know, your grandmother is an exceptional woman. But what brings you to my parlor tonight? What have we got? What can we do for you?
Well, my uncle passed away about a week ago. And I saw him the night before he passed away. Everything was fine with him. He was on the uppity up. Everything was going perfect. And the next day he passes away. And nobody knows why. We haven't got an autopsy back. It's just, it was out of nowhere. And we found out, yeah.
I'm just going to write down the name because I always hate this because I always get, it's either I get the name right off the bat or I'll get somebody that has nothing to do with this. But I'm getting a C name like Charles. Is there a Charles that's in with you, or was he close to somebody named Charles?
I don't really know his personal life. I don't really know any of his friends or anything. So, I mean, no.
Okay. The impression I get is, was he single?
Yeah. And he is gay.
Yeah, that's kind of it was the deal. So, thirties, forties. Was he? He wasn't that old.
He wasn't old at all. He was 51.
51? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He acted like he was in his 30s and 40s? Because that's kind of the feeling.
He was younger. Partier. Than him, so.
He's really surprised to be there. He wasn't expecting this. It was a surprise even to him. That's as much as I'm getting here. I'm still not clear on the name, so I'm just going to hold back on that. But what I do get is he's surprised. I don't think it was AIDS or anything like that. I think he had like a stroke or something. I'm getting a head thing. There were indications before. There was something happening with him before this, you know. I what was going on with him? His head was bugging him.
His head was bugging him.
Did you guys see him? You were working, he was like around you, right? You said you
saw
him the night before.
I saw him all the night before.
He was looking perfect, right?
Yeah, perfectly fine. Nothing.
Aneurysm.
Nothing was wrong.
I think there was, these things always have a habit of kind of announcing themselves. You know, sudden death isn't always a sudden thing. It's generally, like in my father's case, I mean, just, you know, we had little indications all ahead of time that there was a big event coming. And in his case, it was, you know, we were seeing deterioration in different areas outside of that. But he was hiding a whole bunch of stuff that he was going through. And that's the sense I get with this uncle, you know, of yours, is that there was more going on than you were being told, or that he was willing to fess up to. He was aware of some of the. What's that?
We knew that when just this last week we were cleaning out his apartment and stuff, and we found pill bottles and a whole bunch of stuff we weren't ready to find. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So was. Was he dealing with HIV? I mean, if
yes.
You have,
yeah, he okay. did have HIV. I know that for a fact.
Okay, so, but this seems to me to be something that struck him that's independent of that. Because it sounds to me like they had that under control, because they were probably doing the cocktail of different, different medicines and all that stuff. But he had something else hit him. Was he physically, what his condition was, thin? Was he thin or slightly overweight?
I guess honestly, like 6 months ago, he was very, very thin. He wasn't working. He was just really depressed. And then within the last, I want to say 4 months, he started gaining weight. He was looking amazing. He started getting back into his, you know, his makeup and weddings and stuff like that.
Well, the drugs were helping him. I just think he had they're going to do an autopsy, I take it, right? That's already been done.
My family wants them to, but they're just trying to claim it out as they don't need to. It was just.
Yeah, they're just going based on the knowledge
but
of the history. It's a big thing.
Something more than that.
Just some advice, and something I'm getting told is there's more than one way to do an autopsy. There's something new called a virtual autopsy, which would be, you know, the way to go with this. If they have a concern about, the virus itself and all that in the body, which is still viable, then they can go ahead and just put him in and scan him and do a virtual autopsy, and it would be just as good. So that's something to be aware of, and that's become available, I think, pretty much everywhere. So definitely, you know, look at that. But I'm really getting a feeling that it's not so much a independent of the HIV, but I get a feeling he was having some sort of head trouble. And I just feel that it was pretty debilitating at times. And I wouldn't be surprised if he'd had a stroke or something like a stroke that just ended it. It was just, he was here and then he was gone. You know, I don't think this was I don't think he knew it hit him. You know, really.
And John, Karen and I both agree with you as far as, and the feeling I got as soon as she said that was an aneurysm. And Karen also said that as well.
Yeah, it's just something. It's I think that the medicines may have caused this to manifest. You know, he would have had. The different medicines might have been some of the cause. Like I'm watching my father go through this. We have just a huge ocean of medicine that goes through this man every week, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to play so many games with these things to make sure they don't have negative interactions. And if one of those medicines he was taking did have an interaction and he just got off on his schedule or he did something wrong, it could have made things worse. Or he may have had a totally dependent thing. But, I mean, I can't see, you know, again, I'm not on my total game tonight, but I'm seeing enough with him that I'm getting hit, you know, and he didn't suffer. It was, was here and he was out, you know, and he was like, he was met by, did he know your grandmother?
Yeah, that's actually his mom.
Okay, well, then he was met by her, and he was met by a tall man with a mustache. A tall man with a mustache, and this guy's like a brunette. He's a tall, pretty tough guy. This guy's tough. He's tall. He's kind of got a barrel chest and big, tall guy. And I don't know. I don't think it's his father. I think this is somebody else.
The only guy that comes to my mind is my great grandpa, and that was from my mom's side. So that's not even like the same. Side
well,
of the family? I don't know.
I don't think that's it. I think this might be one of his, you know, one of his relationships.
Oh, okay.
Do you know any of those guys?
Sean.
Did he pass?
Yeah.
Okay, so he was, you know, so I tend to think it was Sean was there. So he didn't have any, you know, they knew ahead of time, you know, honestly, I think he was having dreams about this before this happened. And so I think this was not a surprise to him, you know.
And
when
that makes sense when he came, the night he came over the day before he passed away, he was very happy and everything, but my mom's kind of like the neutral in the family. He didn't want to give the key to his house, his apartment, to somebody in the family and somebody else get jealous. So he gave it to my mom. And we all thought that was very weird that, you know, he's been talking about ever since, like, I don't even know. But ever since I was little, he was talking about, oh, I'm going to pass. You know, one day it's going to happen. It's just going to happen. You know, he was always the one that always talked about it and everybody told him to shut up. He gave the key to his apartment to my mom and he was going... You know, we were all sitting in the living room, and he was just talking like, you know, he was happy, but he was just telling everybody, oh, I want you to have this, and I want you to have this. And when he got to me, he kind of just like, he looked at me, just have whatever you want. And I was like, okay. Like, I was like, I don't want to talk about this. Like, you're crazy, you know. And then the next day he passes, and it was kind of like.
Yeah, no, he was pretty well, he was well aware there was, you know, at a soul level. He was already in the process of leaving, and, you know, that's what was happening. His conscious mind was probably kind of running on autopilot, and, you know, this was, you know, so he was, you caught him in the act of leaving, is where really he was just getting through the revolving door and just kind of, you know, concerned at this different level, and he really wasn't himself at all. That was not the normal him that you saw, and what you saw was extraordinary, you know, and, you know, and he just was happy to be able to do it. But when when it did happen, it was, you know, he felt this coming on. This was not at all out of the blue. But I think he was surprised at the way it happened, you know. So we've got about 3 minutes remaining. If you do want to stay on with me a little bit, you know, we can go on onto the show archive. We'll just keep going.
Okay.
So okay, and it's Karen, right?
Kayla, yeah.
Okay. So we've got 2 minutes remaining. This is Ghostwriter Paranormal Radio, Soul Stream tonight. An extraordinary night, not our normal night, but we've had a great time, and we're glad to have everybody here, everybody along with us. We've got Cindy 62, Gerber Daisy TM, a couple of guests out there, Karen Stream. Hello, Karen, and she's on with us. And I've got Kathy as my co-host. and Mark Baroni. We've got Quinny, who is still on with us, and we have TKL Star. Oh, and that's our actor friend in Canada, and Veronica V, and then all the lurkers out there. So with that, we'll go ahead and we'll just keep talking, and the show will run out, so I won't do any music. But anyway, I think he passed with extraordinary speed. But I just don't see that he had any pain. He's really rather surprised at the other side, and he's trying to he's having some trouble letting go of his old life. But that's just the normal deal when they cross. So I think he's kind of in a recovery place right now, trying to figure this out. This Charles name is a big thing. I'd like you to ask your family about Charles and any of his friends. Who this Charles figure is. This Charles figure is very big in this whole thing. So, please do that.
I know a Charles, but they don't go by Charles, which was his off and on relationship. But no one really knew him by Charles, and nobody would ever really call him by Charles.
Okay, so he's talking about his other, this was a guy he was with.
Yeah, kind of. They were like women. They were always like fighting about something. It was ridiculous, but yeah.
Okay. Well, then I honestly, he acknowledges Charles, and he's calling Charles by that name. I don't know what the other name is, but that's what I picked up. So the other side has a way of doing that. That might have been for validation for you as a piece of information that was just not, well known. But, bottom line is he's okay. Everything's good. He's intensely interested in his funeral.
Oh, God.
And can I say something,
yeah.
John? John, can I say something? Can I say something? I also feel that the reason he wanted to do this by himself, he didn't want his family around when he passed. He wanted y'all to remember him of the good times of him before he passed.
Yeah.
And my whole family is getting torn apart because of this, so... And he would not ever want to see that happen.
No, and what I'm hearing from him is stop being so selfish. It was what he wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
They're fighting over rings, and it's ridiculous.
That's sad. That's sad.
Yeah, and it was the same way when my grandma passed away.
Yeah. It gets really funny. The thing I get, I was given 10 months, and things will start to just kind of shake out. But right now you're about to go through 10 months of pure weirdness. Okay, so just hang on, because it's going to take that long for the estate to settle, is what I'm being told. So they're going to be going through some stuff. He was not the best of record keepers, I'm getting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's kind of got stuff all over the place, and that's going to – whoever is the executor is, I feel for them. But he's much more worried about the funeral. He's worried about who's going to come to the funeral. He's all interested in that. So and he's got – his guides are working with him on that one. So he's going to be there, but he's just not all – he's just not – he's going to manifest – for in dreams for you and for others who he really liked.
He hasn't scared the crap out of me.
It really did.
sounds crazy, but in his house, he was the kind of gay guy who was a foo-foo, loved all the big glammy makeup stuff. And you know those poofball makeup things?
Yeah.
Well, he had a vase of one of those. It was just a huge vase filled with them of all different colors. And me and my mom were going through my room and throwing old junk out, and we were throwing it out in the trash can. And that night I had a dream, and he came to me and he told me to check over my dad. Well, my dad was the one that found him in the bathtub when he passed away. So my dad has that picture of my uncle in his head. And me and my mom have been trying to make my dad go to, like, a psychiatrist and talk about it, it's especially to him because they were so close. Well, that morning when I woke up from my dream, My mom went outside to move the trash can to the curb, and the only thing that was on the floor was the poof-poof ball that I used to have. And that scared the crap out of me. Yeah.
You shouldn't be scared because, yeah. I mean, honey, I mean, your grandmother came through with the first time we read, and, you know, she's the coolest lady. I mean, I love her energy. And, you know, she's been around you and manifested and done things for you and done things. Yeah, them moving things is not that big a deal. They can move things up to 10 pounds, you know. They can move little, you know, things around if they really want to, and they've got the, you know, they got enough energy, they can pull it off, and that's about their limit, you know, with the human spirit. So they can move stuff. They can move keys, you know, wallets. They do all that crap, you know, just to get our attention. That was done for you out of love, you know. I mean, that was done for you out of, you know, respect for you and it, just trying to give you a little something to make you feel better. Because, I mean, this got to you. In fact, your calling tonight tells me a bunch there. You know, it's not you know, ship or psychic there, but... when did this happen? I mean, was this was recent, right?
This was last week.
Okay.
So Friday I saw him, and Saturday he passed away, but we didn't find him. Because, you know, he does the whole thing where he doesn't call anybody for a week or so, you know, and just kind of like he goes in his own little bubble, and then he comes out and everything's fine. So nobody really thought anything of it. And then my dad, you know, if my dad calls him and says, hey, you know, Mark, I need to talk to you right now. It's important. Where are you? He normally calls. Well, he didn't call. And so my dad, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, my dad, we went to his apartment because we have the key for it. And we unlocked the door. Well, we couldn't unlock the door because the padlock was locked. And he only locks that if he's home. So we knew he was home. And we heard the shower running, and my dad's like, oh, maybe he's not answering his phone because he's in the shower. So my dad starts, you know, yelling at the door, banging on the door as hard as he can. Nothing's happening. So my dad looks into his kitchen window, and there was a whole mess in the kitchen. And my dad's like, something's wrong. And my dad breaks off the screen. And my dad, you know, he's 42. He shouldn't be crawling through windows. But he breaks off the screen. My boyfriend at the time lifts him up through the window. My dad goes inside, and he's in the bathtub.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So you called 911, and then that took it from there, huh?
Yeah, and it was just a weird, crazy day. And it's just so weird. We found him on the day that we got to his house was the day that my grandma passed away.
Oh, boy.
So the day that we found him was the day that my grandma passed away. So.
Well, he chose that as, that seems to be an auspicious day. I mean, the fact that she showed up for that. She was there with him. You know, and then this other gentleman that shows up that was one of his, you know, friends. To me, he's in a place he's going to feel a lot better. He's still having a little trouble with all of this stuff. He's not going to quit being who he is, I can tell you that. He's definitely an interesting person. to say the least. The thing that I do get with him is he's just, he regrets that he couldn't tell everything that you know, was going on with him. He chose to keep that kind of close to the vest. A very private person. A lot more privacy, you know. And so when you guys found all those things, it was, you know, that was, I think, the hardest part for him from the other side seeing. But, yeah, I mean, is the service planned soon? I mean, is he having a funeral?
He always wanted a big, huge funeral, you know, all the bells and whistles. That's what he wanted. And my family is torn. I'm sorry my language, but we're torn to shit right now. Everybody's fighting over everything. My dad actually got in a fist fight with his brother over stuff. It's, you know, it's ridiculous. And, you know, my dad, he's the one that makes the money in the family. So everybody always comes to my dad for the money. And, you know, my dad paid for his mom's, for my grandma's funeral. My dad did it on his own. everybody said they were going to pay him back, and they never did. So, you know, my dad's like, we're going to divide this up, and that's it. So my dad gave his money, and we're kind of like, we're going to be at the funeral. You guys can deal with the plans. So, you know,
well,
it's just...
I think he's going to be not only appearing to, you know, as he's done to you, but all the ones there. He's very interested in this. That's the thing. He just keeps communicating it. He's not going to... He wants what he wants. I think he earned it, is what he's saying. This is for me, by God, and I want this. And he's just kind of keeping he's going to hold their feet to the fire, is what I'm getting out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely an interesting question. Yeah, I just think that, I think he's also... Is he wanting to be buried? He doesn't want to be cremated, does he? He wants to be buried?
We are cremating him because where he wants to be buried is with my grandmother. And it's an Orthodox, a Greek cemetery. So they have, like, rules where everybody has to be cremated, and they only can be in such a big urn or stuff like that. And they all want to be in the same hole, I guess you could call it. So he's going to be cremated and put with her.
He ain't too happy about that. He's still having trouble with the earthbound thing. He's worried about how he's going to look. And he's really got this thing about how he looks at this. The ashes thing isn't settling with him at all. He's got a lot of work to do. Let's just say that. I think you're going to be fine. You know, just but yeah, you know, he doesn't. Yeah, that's not his thing at all. Is what I'm catching here. He's not quite done making appearances, so he's going to be hanging around quite a bit. He's got help, let's just say that. He's definitely being assisted, you know, by others on the other side. But he will be the same person you always have known. And just hang in there, hon. You know, this is all going to settle out. And the family craziness always happens in these things. Especially, you know, some families, you know, my own family, you know, Portuguese and Scottish, oh, my God, don't get me started. You know, they are crazy. And
yeah,
you just look at people and you go, it's just stuff. For God's sakes, you know, worry about the person that just passed. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so you're going to be fine, hon.
Could you ask him about something for me?
All right.
I don't know if he's like. Because
he can hear you.
Okay. I'm just wondering what happened with the Greek pillar necklace that he wore. They didn't find it on his body when he passed away. And when we were going through his stuff, nobody could find it. And that was like his thing for his other brother. And nobody knows where it is.
You said there was a big mess in the kitchen?
It wasn't a mess, but it was like things were out of place he was OCD and things weren't where they were.
Yeah, I have a feeling in his state of mind and the way he's been acting, you know, prior to his passing, that he was putting things where they shouldn't be. And that's just sort of the thing I'm getting shown. And this is not where you expect it. I think it'll turn up. Are you still getting the apartment all cleaned up and all that?
It's all cleaned out. There's nothing in it.
There's nothing in it. You don't think you could? What about, you know, I just get it's in a place that you're not going to expect. That's the thing. Either he packed it into something that you guys have not seen, or it's still in the apartment in a place that maybe it fell down through. When he was found in the tub, is this something he would have been wearing?
Yeah, he wore that thing all the time. That was like, you know. That's how people recognize him as the guy with the Greek pillar. That was like his thing.
Was this tiny or fairly large?
It It was probably the size of a quarter. The charm on it was about the size of a quarter.
And it had a big necklace, you know, attached to it and all that. And so it had like a chain.
Yeah, it had a chain to it, yeah.
I get the feeling he did something crazy. I'm just... Either that thing is down in a drain, or he's got this thing in a place that is just so friggin' weird that no one would ever look there. And I'm at a loss to try. What I'm getting the feeling of the way he's coming across here is that he flat was just in a weird place when he put this thing and took it off. And he took it off.
Did he sell it? Do you get the feeling of him selling it?
Huh?
Do you get the feeling of him selling it for something?
I don't think he sold it. I think he just flat screwed up. I think he put it down someplace that I don't think that it's in the apartment. The more I reflect on this, I think it's outside. Did he have another place? Did he go to another place that he stayed at regularly other than his home? Was there another spot that he would go?
Honestly, he spent time
with someone else, okay? And I just get the feeling it either ended up there in a place that it'll turn up. The thing I'm getting is it's going to turn up.
John?
Okay.
John?
Yeah. Yeah.
Both me and Kathy are getting that he gave it to somebody. Like a friend, like a guy friend, a real good friend.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting.
Somebody.
Mm-hmm. That's what I had a feeling about when we were like, this means the world to my family. Like, that is like his thing everybody wanted. And when we were looking through it, we turned everything up and down. We couldn't find it. And then when I came home that night.
That's why he gave it to somebody that he cared about.
Yeah.
Well, I'm having just...
family to take it.
I just think that he was not in a right place when he did it. I don't think he was dealing with a full deck at the end there. He may have appeared perfect, but he was not. And, I just get the feeling. I'll modify my position on this, but I'm thinking that there's more to the story than just giving it, okay?
I think that what he did is
he took it off. And he was there.
Yeah, I feel like he was in his right frame of mind either.
I think he took it off.
Well, I know he had a drug problem.
He left.
More than prescription drugs kind of problem. He was using, when we turned his house upside down, we found stuff of cocaine and a whole bunch of stuff we weren't ready for. And, we noticed a lot of his jewelry was gone, and that was the first thing my family thought was him selling it for something like that.
That could be.
Well,
I just think that he gave it to somebody.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
I just think he, my vote on this, and we'll just see, is it'll turn up in a way that you don't expect, but I think he basically put it down and then either forgot it or was in such a state that he just didn't realize what he had done, and it will show up. I have a feeling,
and can I say this? This is just my feeling. I just feel that when y'all have the wake or whatever y'all have, somebody's going to be wearing it.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Let us know, pray
for the person that wears that around their neck. Oh, God. My family will.
When you find out, let us know, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will.
But I do get that I'm hearing from him that he was a free spirit in life, but he's more freer now than he ever has been, and he's tickle pink. He's just happy.
Yeah. He's just wanting to see this all come through, good for the family. And he's just still getting used to this whole thing. You know, this is a big change for him, you know, and there's certain earthly things he craves, but he's getting over it quick. Yeah, and he's got help, plenty of help. But I honestly, I get with this whole thing is he set this thing down didn't mean for it to happen the way it did, and then didn't even think about it, you know. And this happened in a, you know, just very quickly, you know, before what happened to him with the shower and all. So I think he was with somebody.
And I do feel what you felt, John. I do feel what you felt about the burial. The feeling I get is he was more spiritual than religious, and
yeah.
He wanted like she said, he liked the foo-foo. So with that, the only way he thought he could get foo-foo was to get buried instead of cremated. But, you know, you can have it both ways.
He wanted to be in his Armani suit. Yeah, he told us.
I get the feeling he wanted to be standing up with a drink or a cigar in his hand or something. You know, looking up at you guys, and to be have like a wild glasses on or something, so you couldn't look at his eyes directly. Like sunglasses or something. They just have a silly grin on his face. You know,
kind of Elton John.
Well, you know, honey, you could have your own little ceremony for him.
Yeah, you could.
I've done that.
Have you done that? Okay. Yeah, give him a little foo-foo ceremony of your own.
Yeah.
He'll like that.
All right. Well, hey, guys, it's getting late, and, you know, I've got, you know, Kathy is out there on the East Coast. Hell, it's close to it's 4 in the morning out there, so I'm just going to go ahead and pull up this thing. But, hey, you know, thanks for calling in, sweetie. You know, just you know, keep in touch with us, okay?
Okay, I definitely will.
Okay, we love you to death. You just hang in there.
Take care, hon.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye,
darling.
Right. Bye.
Bye now. And Kathy and Miss Karen, thank you for being on tonight.
It was fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a good show.
I did too.
Nice kind of general purpose. We covered all the bases, and then I just think that that was a interesting couple of calls there. I mean, what's going on with her? I'm a little worried for her. With what's going on. I don't know if she's still on. Is she still on?
Yeah.
Oh, Quinny. Yeah, I'm just worried for you, darling. I mean, that guy calling you, that bugs me a bit. You know.
Uh-huh.
You know, now I want to go
be crap
out of him.
I just want to get pictures.
Nobody misses with my.
I want pictures when he gets his ass kicked.
I would love to see it happen.
Wouldn't that be cool?
I just get the feeling of like Ghost, you know, the movie Ghost, where you know Sam Wheat comes in and just starts just wailing on things. Yeah.
I haven't sent y'all those pictures yet of Tony in the spirit world slapping the crap out of Rusty, have I?
It's like these good spiritual warriors, you know, doing good for the living, you know. That's what we need, you know.
Have
to
you
take
seen
care
it? Have I showed it to you?
What's that?
The pictures I've got of Tony smacking the crap out of Rusty in the spiritual realm.
No.
Yeah. Quinny's seen them. You can see Tony's arm shape and everything. Balled up in a fist, and yeah.
Oh, my
wow.
God.
It's like sequence pictures, and Rusty took them, and his head is turning right the way the arm is going right towards him, and it's amazing. I'll have to send it to y'all.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to see
that. I
got to
see that.
Did he feel anything?
He saw that, and he freaked out because he's the one that took the pictures. Him and I had gotten into a really hot and heavy argument, you know, down and out, and he had me in tears, so Tony never liked to see me cry, and that's when Rusty was taking the pictures with my camera, and he did it in sequence, and you could see his face turning, and he said he felt something, he said that's dad's arm right there, and he doesn't feed into all the hoopla, he calls what I do hoopla. But this right here, it really freaked him out seeing it. So I have to send y'all the pictures.
That was a direct message from Dad to shape up or ship out.
Yep, it sure was.
Kathy, who's Rusty?
Rusty's my son. He's 25.
Oh, okay.
And you know who Tony is, right?
Yeah, I know who Tony is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's our son.
Well,
well, I hope Tony's given Richie some pointers.
Oh, I'm sure he is. I truly do believe that it doesn't matter who meets who over there. I think we're all connected, whether we're kin or not, like you, me, John, you know, John and Karen and Quinny and all of us. I think whoever their family members are over there, because we're so connected, that they're going to know who we are when we get over there, no matter if they're family or not, because they're family there.
Oh, yeah.
Because we've become family.
Very true.
Well, I think you're in good shape there, kid. Just, this coming weekend, I'll be around. I'll give you, I'll talk with you in the email, and we'll just get a time, because I think you need to talk with him some more, because, this is a big deal. So okay.
Well, my sister-in-law said that Marchand wanted to talk to me. And when he called, I'm like, okay, what do you want to talk to me about? And he's like, you know, I love you. I'm like, okay, you love whiskey.
I don't think he's done with his love affair with that. And frankly, I'm getting other substances too. I mean, it ain't
surprised.
I'm just seeing that he wants to use her for whatever he can get her for. He's a user.
Yeah.
Yeah, papers most likely.
Yeah, well, he's definitely not good, and there's a very dark thing around him. And right now you just need to just heal up from everything else you've been through. So.
Oh yeah, and even when I was dating him, I had a feeling there was an attachment with him. So.
Yeah. No, he's.
I'm glad Richie agrees with me.
Yeah. You know, Richie's kind of watching over everything, but I have a feeling this gentleman is going to have the holy hell scared out of him in no uncertain terms.
Okay. I'm down with that.
Yeah, he's going to be wondering what the hell hit his wife. So, and we'll do a little, and you know what, we on this side of things too can do some things. You listened to that part about the board that I was talking about, right? Just using the poster board and pictures and things like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could send this guy on his way with something like that. You could make a little poster board and have him on a slow boat to China. And that'll help things, too, because you can signal to people.
How about a fast boat to China?
Yeah.
No, you put him on a slow boat. He's stuck on the ocean forever.
No, get a picture of a cannon and put him in the cannon.
That works.
Yeah, and light the fire.
Actually, I like strapping him to the underside of an Atlas V, at launch. screw the going up as a payload. I'm looking up the ass end of this rocket. Oh, this is not good. I should have messed with that woman. She's got some connections. So,
yeah, it wouldn't hurt to mention that either.
Yeah, I know some people that can take you down to the Cape. Yeah. And have a bad day. You want to feel some heat? I'll show you heat.
Too funny.
You know what, Rich?
That was just our thoughts alone, what we're thinking about him.
You do know we're still on air, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's okay.
This is still getting recorded.
Oh, that's great. I believe it right on, too. But, you know, Rich is back, by the way. And he popped in a little something. Do you use are you using sea salt and stones and things like that? Because I always talk about them, but he was bringing up tell you about that.
I haven't used them in a while.
It might be a good idea to help clear some of the stuff that's going on around you, because that's part of the attractant going on. So
okay.
Definitely go through and do a cleansing,
mm-hmm.
And then get Right now I've got obsidian and black tourmaline and different stones, positive stones too that are good, and selenite. So just if you have a collection of those things, just, you know, go through and cleanse all your stones, do the sea salt, do some sage, and, you know, just kind of...
Well, I have sea salt. The rest is going to have to wait to be budgeted in one of the next months.
Okay, well then do the sea salt, and then just go around the house with positive intent, and just clear the place.
And just
go to each room and say and bless it. You can actually do another thing. You can make your own holy water. Which
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, you can take holy water. Just take any water, and then just just speak loving messages to it, and talk about love and gratitude. Those are two of the most powerful.
Put it out in the sun too.
Yeah, but with the human intention to charge it, it structuralizes the water. It literally is physically changes the water, and that's what holy water is. It's structuralized water. So you can have that, and then drink some of it, which will help you get over your bug, and then also just scatter it in different places where you sleep, and all around, and it will really help. You accelerate the clearing. So,
okay.
Yeah, don't be afraid to use it. It's, you know, you can make your own. You don't have to go to the church for it. You can, you know, you can save a buck and just get it out of the tap, you know. So, okay.
Sounds like a plan.
All right there, Miss Quinny. Well, hey, guys, we're going to go ahead and call it a night. And thank you all for coming on. I appreciate it. You're all loved.
Thank you for having us.
We love you too.
Okay. Well, with that then, this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. We're going to sign off, and I still have
night,
a board room. My God.
Good night, Kathy.
So,
night. I love you guys.
Love you too, Ma. Night, John.
Night, Kathy. Good night, Karen.
Night, baby.
Night, John, boy.
Night, Elizabeth. Night, Ma.
Good night, Grandpa. Good night, Grandma. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Okay, here we go.
Troops is filmed on location with the men of the Imperial Forces. All suspects are guilty, period. Otherwise, they wouldn't be suspect, would they?
Had a fun time tonight. This is a good show. See you guys later.